welcome to the podcast, Celebrating Differences. Celebrating Differences is the initiative of WOW, Inc. WOW is a nonprofit that's been chartered to foster community. WAAO stands for We Are All One. I'm your host, Preston, or Tyree, and today we have an interesting interviewee for episode 90. He's going to talk to us about cooking well, and his name is Rudy Rivera III. So let's go talk to Rudy in his new restaurant in Miller Neighborhood in Austin, Texas, called Bottega, and see what he's up to.
Rudy, what's your last name?
Rivera III. Actually, my real name is Rodolfo Rivera III.
Rodolfo,
but everybody calls me Rudy.
Rodolfo Rivera III. Yeah. So tell me about one and two.
Well, my grandfather were originally from South Texas, and my father, they all grew up in South Texas as migrant workers, and they worked the fields all year long, moving around from state to state. Whatever was in season in that state, they would go and pick them, and that I inherited my grandfather's name, and I inherited his eyes, his hair, his everything from him. And I'm the only one in my family that doesn't wear glasses, and he was the same way.
Wow.
So I inherited a lot from that man. I grew up in the country. I grew up hunting and fishing and outdoorsman and stuff.
So what year were you born?
I was born in 94.
Born 1994.
Okay.
I've got where were you born?
I was born in McAllen, Texas.
McAllen. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You said down the valley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figure you're somewhere in there.
Yeah, area. Yeah. Okay. Born in McAllen, grew up in Weslaco till I was about 6, and then we moved to Seguin, Texas, okay. And then I've been there.
Weslaco is fairly close to Houston, isn't it?
No, it's about 30 minutes from McAllen. So all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's in between Brownsville and McAllen.
Okay.
And all through the.
Down in that magic triangle.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
The far corners of South Texas.
Okay. So what have you done since you moved to Seguin? What have you done with your life?
What I've done with my life? Born and raised Catholic. Went to Catholic school. Been in private school my entire life. Graduated high school. Immediately as I graduated, I moved to Austin. And this is where, by that time, my dad's side of the family was already here in Austin,
okay. And
established. And my uncle owns Taco Shacks here in Austin. And I ended up working for him as soon as I came out of high school. And I worked for him for a couple months. And then I went to culinary school. And just that's kind of where I started my
ACC?
Culinary
school.
No, Le Cordon Bleu, when it was still here in Austin.
Okay.
I was actually probably the fourth class before they closed down.
Okay.
But that was amazing. I loved that culinary school and just kind of my culinary journey.
Okay.
Kind of having the restaurant in the blood. I always would come up here on weekends with my dad to flip tortillas or like make tacos at my uncle's restaurants and stuff. So that kind of initially started me to love food and culinary world.
And you gotta love people, don't you?
You get to see the PR of it, you know, being very friendly with the customers and seeing the regulars come in every single day. Like, you get to know them personally, and there's a lot of regulars that still go to Taco Shacks that they've known me since I was a little kid.
Oh, that's great.
And they're like, wow, you're way bigger than what you were like 15-20 years ago. So yeah. It's nice to actually see them, that they still love the family food and family recipes and stuff like that.
I'm trying to remember where I was not too long ago when they were handing out coupons for Taco Shack.
Might have been for like the Taco Shack Bowl, the annual, the football, the high school football game.
Do they hand out coupons at Rock the Park?
I think that's new. Yeah, I think they were handing out coupons.
Okay, I think, and it's fairly recent.
Yeah. That's something new my uncle started.
Okay, all right, great. So, talk to me about food. I've got Ice cream and wine, great combination, by the way.
Can't go wrong with it.
Tell me about this particular ice cream. What is it and what makes it special?
So this ice cream is actually produced by one of our partners, Gregory. He's another chef, a private chef in California for a while, originally from Austin. His family's longtime Austinites. But he did some work in California and came back home and found his niche in making ice cream. So this ice cream is actually, it's a lot more richer. It's got a lot creamier texture to it because of the fat content. The butter fat content is a lot higher. The percentage, regular ice cream is about, I would say 9 to 10%, to where this is 10 plus. Like sometimes it's 13-14% on the butter fat. Right. That's very high, but that's kind of how you get the richness
The smooth.
Exactly. Yeah. And then as well on some of the ice cream, it doesn't have egg in it. So it's not really a custard based ice cream.
Okay.
It's eggless, and with the higher fat content allows it to freeze and form into ice cream. Mm-hmm. Greg does a phenomenal job with pairing a lot of exotic flavors. I mean, the chocolate that he uses is one I've never heard of, and it's delicious. I mean, it pairs really well with the chocolate. He knows the flavor, like, boundaries, I would say, with adding things into the ice cream, like coffee with the chocolate and the dates and the hazelnut in there.
And it is one that I am going to try. This one I love the first time I tried it, so I'm back to it. But that one has honeycomb.
The Persian honeycomb, yeah. So he makes like a honeycomb candy that mixes in the ice cream. So it's more of a, I would say like it's like a honey brittle.
Kind of. Ooh. So yeah, I'm going to have to try that.
It's delicious. The candy gets a little bit chewy in your mouth, but you kind of play with it with the ice cream, and it's kind of like a nice little little fun little treat that for yourself. Like,
that sounds good.
And that one's my favorite. I'm a big fan of the Persian, and I kind of hope to keep it on the menu for a while.
Okay. Always a problem with me and ice cream is I can eat that scoop and gain 2 pounds. It just goes boom.
Trust me. I mean, I can eat barely a spoonful, and I already feel it. Like my body loves it. I got to tell myself I can only have so much.
So tell me about this wine that I chose tonight. This is a Montenegro.
So this is a Montenegro Bianco. It's an Italian wine. I do know that the grapes they do have skin contact with so it's a red wine, or it's a red grape, but it's made into like a white wine. So the skin contact is very limited. That's kind of how you get the color profile. It's orange. It looks like an orange wine.
I was looking at it. So is that a white wine? Yeah, it's a white wine, but it's got some really rich tone.
It's actually got a very interesting flavor profile. It kind of tastes like, I get apples on it. Like it's got, I love Granny Smith apples. So it kind of, this is like perfect for the fall season we're kind of going into, and just coupled with the future dinner options that we're going to have, I think it'll pair really well with like our carpaccio and our beet tartare. Just the earthiness from the beets and
you
this.
Do. Beet tartare?
Mm-hmm. Beet tartare. It's kind of...
Now you said beet.
Beet. Beet
not
root.
Beef.
No, not beef. Beet. Vegetable. Okay. Vegetarian. Okay. And you get a lot of the earthiness from the beet, but I kind of... the way I cook my beets, I get those flavor profiles, but it's not overbearing. It's very light.
So you are the chef here?
Yes, I am the chef. All the partners have culinary backgrounds, and we're all chefs, but I am the one curating the food.
Curating the food here. Yeah. I love those words. You know, they just, it's an art world. I'm curating the food. Yeah. Oh, okay. That works. I get that. Yeah. Okay. So this place started out as just a charcuterie, right?
Yeah. So from my knowledge, it was actually East Austin Culinary Studio. So they would do cooking classes.
Okay.
And,
that's
why we got permitted for the range that was already established.
Okay.
I say they got grandfathered in before everybody else. But so it was East Austin Culinary Studio, and then Jackie, the owner of Casero, took it over, bought the whole building, and ended up doing like a charcuterie company out of here. But it also was a little market, so she would offer little like bodega style.
Yeah, she lives upstairs.
She lives upstairs. Okay. Yes. So people ask us too the difference between bodega and bottega. So bodega is Spanish for like a market or, you know, like a little shop.
Okay, I think of it tending to be towards alcohol, towards wine,
bodega. Bodega, so yeah, it's a little bit, it's Italian, but it's more for a artist studio. It's more of like an environment for an artist to portray their work.
Okay.
So that's kind of why us as chefs, our artwork is the food and everything we do. So that's kind of why we called it that. And we're each, since we each have different culinary backgrounds, we're each portraying our own little ingredient. Okay. Katie does the coffee, Greg does the ice cream, and then I'm doing the food.
Okay. So give me your favorite dish to produce.
Favorite dish to produce? I'll tell you this. My favorite protein to use when I'm cooking is duck. Mm. I love duck. I love, honestly, all game birds. I'm a big game bird fan. I grew up hunting. I grew up dove hunting and duck hunting and doing all those things. But my favorite protein out of everything is duck.
Okay.
And it's there's just something about it. It's delicious. It's fatty. I say it's healthy for you in the right and cooking it in the right way. But I mean, it's just so rustic, and I like that.
I'm going to make a connection between us. Really.
Okay.
My dad was on the board of directors of Ducks Unlimited.
Really?
Yeah. And he was a great duck hunter, and he loved to shoot birds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, you know, pheasant, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But ducks were his favorite by a long shot.
I've only gone duck hunting twice, and the hardest thing is to find somebody else that has the land to go duck hunting. And all my friends have just farm fields for dove, but it's the duck hunting that I want to do more of.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of grew up with that, but I tended to be on the photography side, taking pictures of the ducks and the shooters, you know, the hunters out there with their guns and that kind of stuff. And Dad was a little, don't you want to shoot them? No, I don't want to shoot them. I want to take pictures of them.
The action shots.
Yeah, there we go. So, I've been taking pictures of duck hunting. Goodness, that goes back a long way. Anyway, so you have you've got three chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of employees doing the stuff.
Yeah,
taking orders,
hands-on stuff.
Okay,
they scoop the ice cream. They take the orders, make the coffee stuff.
Now Eleanor is here tonight.
She's,
and then you have another one. I forget her name.
Sophie. She works in the morning. And then there's another one we just started last week called Camille.
Camille.
So she works in the morning as well. Okay. Camille might do evening shifts, but just depending on what her other schedule.
Sure.
But
I like the way you break up your time. I think you can see it, but it's 7 to 2,
mm-hmm.
5 to 9, every day but Monday.
Yes.
Okay. Because your website has some different
terminology.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The only difference is on the weekends we open an hour later. So we open at 8, but pretty much the rest of the week is the same. Right.
Okay. And, this is a question I like to ask of my interviewees.
Mm.
Two questions.
Okay.
One, you're obviously doing a lot for yourself running this.
Mm.
This is feeding you. So give me how you vision that. What are you doing to make the rest of your life better?
With Bottega?
Well, with whatever.
With that?
You know, if it's something outside of this, then we need to hear that.
Yeah. No, I kind of envision this more as a stepping stone in my culinary path, so to speak. I mean, I've worked at a lot of different restaurants, and I view everything as a learning process. I mean, that's just how we should view life in general. I mean, there's nothing set in stone. It's always a learning process.
That's what we're doing right here.
Yeah.
This is a curiosity about you and what you're doing. Okay, it's a learning. You got a lot to teach me. I've been around a long time, but I've never met you before. I never have heard this story before.
No, if you're willing to listen, I'm willing to teach. And that's kind of what I feel like I want to be doing here as well, like teaching people a little bit more of the aspects of having a business, cooking your own food, being sustainable, trying to limit yourself with waste, and just kind of making very simple foods delicious. Like a lot of a lot of the ingredients here that I'm trying to use every day.
You got it with this one.
Appreciate that. The rest of it, I'm sure you're going to love too.
Yeah.
Here it's doing the best I can with the limited amount of space. I mean, you see how big our shop is. It's very tight, but I mean, everything that I'm producing is coming out of this kitchen, and it's going to be elevated because I want it to be. And it's also showing people like, wow, in this small kitchen, you can produce this style of food.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Like it's not about having the best kitchen in the world, or don't get me wrong. It's a kitchen's just another tool, and I love tools, but it's just kind of slowing yourself down and being able to mentally prepare yourself on how to do things here and there, like just setting a checklist and achieving a certain dish about 80% there, to where when it's service time, you're just doing those last 20%, and it's beautiful. Quality's perfect.
It looks good. It tastes good. Yeah.
And
it's good for me.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that's kind of like how I have been starting out the menu. A lot of our to-go items, like the crudité with hummus or the chilled pasta salad. When we opened, it was still summertime, and we were 100 degree plus weather. So I was like, we need something that's a little bit to-go and easy to grab, but that's very refreshing. It's going to cool the body down. It's not going to feel like it's very heavy, or it's going to be overwhelming. Flavors are popping, and they're very strong, they're very herbaceous, but at the same time, you feel yourself kind of cooling down from the heat. You're not eating something and sweating from it, you know.
Okay.
Like meat sweats. But that's kind of the realm I've been trying to push here. It's also beneficial that my girlfriend is vegetarian, so she's also helping me to create dishes to
understand.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm a meat eater through and through, so that's kind of been my entire life.
So now she's a vegetarian. Is she vegan?
She's not vegan. She's vegetarian. She's also another chef, but she's a pastry chef. She works for a catering company here.
I was hoping maybe you were going to make that step. Okay. All right.
I can do some pastries here and there, but the one thing I cannot do is be very precise like a pastry chef can be.
Okay.
I do a lot of what I say is cooking with my heart. So I know what something tastes like and will end result will be. And I'm just seasoning here and there. I'm not measuring anything out. I'm playing with the flavors, and at the end result, it's something delicious. And so far, every time, not trying to boast, but every time I create a dish, and I want people's opinion, they're like, this reminds me of a dish from years ago. And that's kind of what I want. I want people to remember things they've had from years back. And it just brings up those amazing memories.
So I hear a lot of spent Italian influence. Mm. Is your family Italian?
We are not. No, we are Mexican.
Hispanic. That's Spanish?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Since I was French trained, going to Le Cordon Bleu and working with like Wink restaurant and wine bar here in Austin. They're very contemporary American, but they also a lot of French influence.
Okay.
But my love in food is going to be Italian. I love making pasta from scratch. I love
Spanish taking from. And we end up. Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Right.
The three romance languages.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are my favorite.
There you go. All right.
But Italian is where I like.
One of the questions I like to ask people, besides what are you doing for yourself? Is what are you doing for the rest of the world? What are you doing to make the rest of the world better?
That is actually an amazing question. Now that I feel like I have somewhat of a platform to say a little more, do a little more. Before it was just minuscule things that anybody can do. You know, pick up trash, volunteer here and there, or like spend a couple hours with your grandmother, or like or anybody else's grandparent.
But those are important things to do. Don't blow them off.
No, and that's what we think and know, but a lot of people I see blow a lot of the simplest things off, and the simplest things make a big impact. And for here, now that I feel like I have a platform, I want to show people that if you give a little bit of love to the world, I mean, you're going to get a little bit, but it's not about getting it back. It's just like, just keep giving it out.
Okay.
Like there's a lot of negativity in the world, then it's not hard to be a good person. You know, give some free food here and there.
Go ahead, give me that again. I want you to hear Make that statement again.
It's not hard to be a good person, or it doesn't cost anything to be a good person.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That might be a good place to end this, Rudy.
Think so?
Yeah, I think it just might be.
Okay.
You know. So do you think you're a good person?
I hope I am. I mean, I try to be. I know I have difficulties that I have in my own personal life that I deal with, and I deal with them, but outwardly to the world, I try to be nice and giving and understanding and kind of put myself in other people's shoes. You know, okay. You don't know what they're going through that day or what's happening. And with here, like for Halloween that's happening soon, I want to do like give out candy for the kids, have something even special for the adults, because obviously the adults are going to be involved as well. You know, the neighborhood's going to have their own Halloween fest that I want to try to be a part of, just giving a little snack here.
You're going to be at Fall Fest?
Trying to be. I think we actually might have an event happening that day here. Somebody wants to rent out the space. So we're finalizing that, but if they end up canceling it, I'm going to do something.
Okay. Fest. Yeah, because we'd love to have you at Fall Fest. I am on the steering committee of the M&A. So you've probably been talking to Karen, or...
I think so. And then another gentleman came by earlier this morning. Aaron, I think? Or
Andrew?
Andrew. Well, I have his number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we dropped Spring Fest because we just didn't have anybody to run it. And now we found somebody to take on Fall Fest, and we're trying to make it big, big special. So good. I would love to see you take part if you can, if it makes sense for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Internally, I want to. Like, okay. Absolutely, but we'll see what happens.
If it works, it works,
and we'll be there. We'll love to be there. I've done a couple, actually, private catering gigs at the pavilion for the neighborhood. So that was before the shop and everything.
Yeah, well, that's good. Thank you, Rudy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Rudolfo?
Rudolfo, yeah.
Rudolfo, yeah. Okay, great.
Rudolfo Rivera III.
I'm a third.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they skipped a generation. My grandfather was a junior.
Hello, we're just nosing.
No, you're fine.
And they have coffee.
Hey, if you're nosy.
Hi,
Ty.
How are you?
I'm doing well. We're interviewing Rudy here.
Hi, Rudy.
Hi.
Let me ask you that important question.
Okay.
Are you having fun in Miller?
Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. You got the answer.
That's
you
what
were
we've just been
for.
Talking about. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So anyhow, I'm still in my car.
There you are.
Appreciate that. Thanks for bringing them down.
Interviewing them for what?
We already had.
I do a YouTube channel and a podcast.
Now they're all dessert.
And this will go up. The voice of this will go up on the podcast.
Actually,
and
I'm coming over Sunday morning.
The video will go up on the YouTube.
So we have a couple of breakfast options.
Just to let people know, and then we're going to talk to her for just a little bit. That's Eleanor. Say hi, Eleanor.
To-go items, pasta salad, the snacks, crudité, overnight oats.
Sounds very good.
Who?
And then
okay.
That's a popular one.
Put your finger in there, too. A little bit of that. It's coffee-based.
Warm for us on Sunday.
We can warm them. They'll be made fresh.
So that's ice cream. We're backing up the line.
Ice cream and wine. It's the way to end the day.
It is the way to end. Start it.
Maybe in the middle. Now we're doing like champagne with sorbet.
Oh.
Ooh, that sounds
Quick, run, Harv.
Y'all have fun.
Yep.
Bye.
Well, as you can see, the neighbors just drop in to have a little bite to eat at this new bodega on Padgett Square on Robert Browning Avenue in Miller Neighborhood, Austin, Texas. So if you want to subscribe down below, we'll let you know when we are doing new podcasts and new videos. And I hope you have a great day.